show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Thank you for downloading the podcast. You'll hear this coming up soon. A real low light of this morning's show, but for hits, $1 million Alpha Bucks. We tried to live life like a $1 million Alpha Bucks winner.
Yeah.
And it failed, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was a total fail because we want to highlight the amazing things you can do if you win $1 million. And one of those things that we thought of was caviar. Millionaires always eat caviar in all the movies. That's what they eat.
That's what Bruce Wayne's parents did in Batman.
Yeah. And so we're like, well, let's eat caviar to let you know what you can expect to enjoy if
it's
you're
awful.
Our winner. And it's really bad.
The idea was highlight how so great bad. It would be to be a millionaire. And I think
and we failed that we very
kind
spectacularly.
Of did the opposite. Just tasted like squishy salt in your mouth. It like, was truly awful.
Felt like I drowned in the ocean. Like that's the taste. Like bile still, and ocean water mixed together.
Is it lingering in your mouth as well?
And I had to go get a coffee just to rinse it out.
So bad.
And then I had like a fish egg stuck in my teeth. Oh, it's sexy.
Anyway, that's what you can look forward to if you win hits $1 million Alpha Bucks.
Cliffo and Gabby, Average Joes.
It's time to show everyone just how amazing Olympic athletes really are. Because it's so easy to sit on the couch and just judge them on the little fails or like just missing out on the world record or something. Be like, come on, push harder.
Yeah. Often I'm judging hard with a beer in hand.
Yeah.
And I was judging the other day when I was watching the canoe, Salem, is it? And I looked down and I had a black top on and I actually had chip crumbs.
Yeah.
Salt and vinegar chip crumbs all over my black t-shirt.
You're like, come on.
Come on.
I was doing the same in gymnastics.
Put your heart into it.
One of the girls stumbled on her landing after doing, you know, like a triple flip or something. And I was like, oh, why'd you stumble?
I would have made that.
But we want to be your average Joe. So your context, your control to show you just how superior these Olympic athletes really are to an average person like us.
It's a very simple idea that Gabby had. We're just going to have a crack at certain events and compare our scores, times, whatever the metric
distances,
of
whatever it is.
Yeah, judgment is. Mm. We're going to compare that against the Tokyo gold medal. Time in my instance, because I'm going first. We've already locked in mine.
Yes.
And I'm going to try it this afternoon. I'm going to do the 100-meter sprint. And I have to pull you up here, Gabs, because yesterday on the show, I made a call, something along the lines of like, I'm going for gold.
Mm.
Like, I'm really hitting or whatever. And you just kind of went... You just make this noise, like, yeah, good on you.
You can go for it.
And I think that's the thing. Like, I think right here and right now, you and I have to
We're
make a commitment that we will put our body on the line and we will give it our 100%.
Yeah.
Because if you were ever given the chance to do that against an Olympian, that's what you would do.
Yeah, so we are really aiming for that gold medal.
Actually, Brooke, can you just
I'm not sure how close we'll get, though.
Can you have a quick Google for me, Brooke? And just let
the
us know as soon
sprint.
As you find it. The men's sprint. Like, what was
100
the gold,
meters?
What was the gold medal time?
Happened yesterday,
had a look
didn't
for
it?
You.
Have a look in Tokyo.
I think it was pretty
what I'm going for.
Damn fast.
They're pretty much under 10 seconds these days, aren't they?
I think so. Usain
meters.
Bolt,
yeah.
I think, had the world record. But yesterday they may have beaten it. I'm not 100% sure.
I think Bolt still got it.
Yeah, so you are doing the 100-meter sprint. Cliffo, you're aiming for the fastest time possible. I don't know what I should do, though. I don't know what event I should participate
in. I'm doing quite a standard event. Like, that's probably of all the Olympic events. The 100-meter sprint is probably the most standard. Brooke's just got the time through, 9.8 seconds exactly. 9.80 is my time to run 100 meters.
Couldn't even drive it in
Thank
that
you
time.
For that, Brooke. But being that I'm doing a pretty standard one, like a sprint, I reckon we need...
Something a little different.
13, 10, 60. We'll open it up to the phones. You suggest whatever you want.
Yeah.
But there's so Try many weird and wacky and wonderful Olympic sports. Yeah. I'd like to see you do something that's not an everyday sport.
Something a bit different. It does need to be able to be compared, though, doesn't it? So it can't be something like
Judged.
Diving where you get like a score because...
Yeah.
It's a bit too hard to compare then when it comes to audio.
What about the high jump?
Oh my god.
Or the
I'd break my back.
The what's it called? The one with the pole. Pole vaulting, that's it. Pole vaulting.
What about the pole?
No, that's too dangerous. I would end up going up in the air and then falling back the wrong way.
13, 10, 60.
If I got in the air at all, that is.
So I'm going to do the sprint. We got to decide a sport for Gabs. Yeah. And it has to have a clear metric, like a clear decider. So we're preferably not after a sport that's judged.
Yes. More a distance or a quickness type activity.
We don't have a horse, so equestrian's out.
Damn. That would have been 13,
10, 60.
Show jumping.
My neighbour's got a Great Dane we could borrow. 13, 10, 60. What sport should Gabby average Joe? You've actually got a sport that's a relatively new addition to the Olympics, mate.
Yeah, and this is average Joe, but I reckon rock climbing.
Yeah, that was
Gabby
one
could climb up a rock in 5 seconds flat.
With my nails, maybe I could. They're like, you know, those pick forks that they use to get up. I just use my nails like
Spider-Man.
A bear. Yeah.
Yeah, but have you seen them? They just fly up like
fast.
A spider up a wall.
They are very
fast. I love,
fast.
Too, the irony that our first caller for Average Joe is an Average Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Great call. Leonie, what sport should Gabby have a crack at?
I reckon she should have a go at javelin.
I'm keen. I am keen at doing javelin. No one else is keen for me to do javelin.
I wouldn't be...
The person has to be there measuring.
I wouldn't be standing in front, to the sides, or to the back.
You'll have to have like a Captain America shield, just in case.
You're standing by javelin though, Leonie?
Yeah, definitely. I watched it the other day and the scores were like in the 60s. I was like, oh, that's not hard.
Yeah. Incredible.
I went outside and got a broom and I got about 5.5 metres.
Well, you've already averaged Jordan for us, Leonie. 5.5.
5 metres with
a
broom.
That's funny.
Hope you took the end off it. It's just the stick. Andrew's here. What sport, Andrew?
I think she should try archery.
Why
is everyone
one?
Suggesting the sports with pointy ends?
The sports where I can hurt people.
I don't know, guys. You don't know Gabby as well as I do.
I'm pretty dangerous.
13, 10, 60. Ryan's here. What sport should Gabby average Joe? Ryan?
Personally, I love the shot put. And I know, Gabby, you have fake nails. So I think that would be a hell of a spectacle.
I reckon shot put would be all right with the nails because you push it. You don't throw it. There's no wrist action. So my nails shouldn't get in the way.
I mean, that's sad. I've never seen an Olympic athlete.
With fake nails.
With fake nails the size of yours right now. So.
That's true, actually. That's probably
know,
for
man.
A reason.
You are, what's the word? I reckon you'd be good at that.
I was a state champion of I went to the state championships. I wasn't the champion of shot put when I was a kid, but that's a good 20 years
ago. You're a tough girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like Pink in that regards.
Okay, I'm happy you're comparing me to Pink. I'm all right with that. I thought you were going to say you're built like a shot putter, and I was going to be very offended.
Gabby looks like the Trunchbull from Matilda, everyone.
No, we'll go with Pink. We'll go with Pink.
Keep your suggestions coming through, guys, at our socials, at Cliffo and Gabby on Facey and Insta.
We're never going to get one on.
Never going to get.
Guys, we got one. We threw it out there this morning that we wanted to talk to a celebrity impersonator. And we have Kylie Minogue on with us, a.k.a. Lucy Holmes. How you going, Lucy?
Very good, Cliffo and Gabby. Lovely to chat.
It's so good to have you on. I didn't know what to expect when we said we wanted a celebrity impersonator on.
Yes.
I didn't know. Were we going to get a Freddie Mercury? Were we going to get, I don't know,
Jennifer Lopez?
The ABBA one seemed to come around into our RSLs all the time. But Lucy, you are a Kylie Minogue impersonator. Tell us, I'm sure you did music and all that stuff growing up. How did you transition from making your own music and just doing other people's music or whatever to focusing on Kylie Minogue?
Yeah, I studied music theatre at uni, so I thought I would end up in productions on stage because I love performing as somebody else. I love musicals where, you know, you're Christine in Phantom or you're Cosette in Les Miserables. And I was in my early 20s. So I've actually done Kylie for 20 years now.
Wow.
And I was gigging around doing a lot of just cover gigs and as you do studio work to earn a living in your early 20s as a singer. And an agent saw me and he's like, you are like Kylie's double. And as a joke, I would just mimic her voice at gigs because it would give people a kick. I looked like her. I could do her voice. And this agent who looked after a lot of the big tribute shows, you know, a couple of decades ago, said, you should be doing a Kylie show. No one's doing it. And so 20 years ago, I started a show called 100% Kylie. And 20 years later, it's taken me all around the world to like 20 plus countries. It's been a crazy job.
Has Kylie ever seen your show, been to one of them, seen any videos online? Has she ever commented?
Yeah, so many years ago, I think about 10 years into it, she had a film crew following her for her White Diamond doco, and her agent contacted us and said, can she come and film your show to watch it back? And we were like, okay. And so her doco crew came, her manager came, all her dancers came because they were in the same city. And after that, she sent out a tweet on Twitter, of course, obviously, which said, because there was only Twitter back then, and she said, this is the best Kylie show in the world. And then ever since then, she followed us on Twitter. She would text, like she would say, good luck on your tour. This is the best show. And then Danny came to a show. Then I became mates with Danny. And then the parents came to a show because they could see the level of the show was so high that it was such a great show that they all became really wonderfully supportive of it, which was absolutely incredible. So the whole Minogue family, including Kylie, have been so wonderful to the success of the show.
Wow.
That's so interesting because I've always wondered whether or not celebrities like the fact that they have impersonators out there. So that's a great answer for that one. Have you ever been mistaken for the real Kylie Minogue and do you just run with it?
So many years ago, A Current Affair were doing a story on me and they took me down to a road here in Melbourne called Burke Road in Camberwell. Now, Kylie grew up in Camberwell. Her parents live around the corner. So they did this story like pretending that Kylie was back. And everybody just thought Kylie was back. So all these people were running towards the car and the cameras because there was a, you know, well-known journo there. And I think everybody just thought Kylie was in Burke Road, Camberwell. And so it got really hectic with people trying to get photos and autographs and people crying. And they bundled me into a car and drove me off. And so that was so surreal. And that was bizarre. I kept thinking, all these poor people think they've just met Kylie and they haven't.
What happens when someone asks for your autograph thinking you are Kylie? What do you sign?
Look, if at the shows when we do a signing desk after, we do these big two-hour theatre shows around the country and overseas. And if people come and get a poster or a program, then often we do the Kylie signature or we'll write 100% Kylie because it makes more sense. But sometimes you have to realize if there's someone who really truly believes it's Kylie and maybe they're a bit younger and you don't want to like crush their dreams, you can kind of go along with it. But there have been a few times where I've said to people, I'm so sorry, I'm not actually Kylie, I'm an impersonator. So it's interesting overseas when there's a language barrier, they don't quite understand sometimes that you're an impersonator.
I love that. Lucy, before we let you go, can we go around the grounds and just pick our favourite Kylie banger?
Oh,
I feel that's something appropriate. So I'm gonna start something old school for me.
Okay.
If I had to pick, it's probably
Better
the Devil, you know.
Like a song.
Lucy, putting you on the spot, favourite Kylie banger?
You know, you have just taken my one. I love Better the Devil. So I will, that's my favourite one to perform as well. But look, let's just go with the classic. Let's go with Can't Get You Out of My Head. That's such a classic.
What was she wearing? Like the draped around?
Can't Get You Out of My
Head. White hood.
The white hooded thing.
That's right.
Gabrielle?
Guys, I'm going Locomotion. How can you go for any other song?
Locomotion.
True, classic.
There it is.
It's like vintage Kylie.
Lucy, that'd be a fun one to perform too, wouldn't it? Locomotion.
But I've done it like every weekend for 20 years.
Right.
So that one particularly waits on me right now.
Right.
But it's a good song.
We'll kill that. Lucy Holmes, she is, I'm going to put it out there, the world's premier Kylie Minogue impersonator. Lucy, big love. Thank you so much for your time. Great chat.
Anytime, guys.
Further proof that not all heroes wear capes. The absolute bloody legend of the day is none other than Darren Hayes of Savage Garden fame. I wanna stand
with you on a mountain. Oh, he's been wearing a cape for years.
You would have been a fan.
I loved Savage Garden.
I know you're more Backstreet Boys
but they're like,
than anyone else.
They were
but
a boy band.
I could imagine a sly poster or two on the back of the bedroom door.
Oh, yeah.
So Darren Hayes is a legend for the following reason. He hit his social media accounts yesterday, and on them he put out a post. It's an image of some song lyrics that were rewritten for him. Mm-hmm. And on top of the lyrics, he's just written, If only you knew how much money I just turned down and how hard I fight to protect your high school memories. And by that, what he's saying is a company has taken that song that we just played there, Truly, Madly, Deeply, and they've completely butchered it in the hope that they were going to make a television commercial out of it starring Darren Hayes. Now, he's written here, real pitch from an advertising company who wanted to use one of my songs in a TV commercial. They thought I might like to do a quick re-record using these lyrics.
Oh, no.
Now, he's actually blanked out the company where it says the company's name. He's written insert brand name here, but it's a food delivery company. So
there's
we're
only
thinking,
a couple of those.
There's
isn't
only
there?
A few.
There's not that many.
One of them rhymes with Ruber Eats. You know? but instead of just reading the lyrics, I thought I'd play the song Truly, Madly, Deeply, just so we can get a real appreciation of how much of a legend Darren Hayes is for turning this down and protecting our high school memories. So this is what the advertising company for the food delivery place wanted to go with.
It's going
to
upset me.
I'll bring you Greek, I'll bring you French, I'll bring you Japanese, I'll bring you Thai steak from the pub, bring all the food that you need close to your door with every step. I'm outside holding your food. I will be warm, I will be tasty, because I'm counting on a real good rating. That's the reason I'm bringing you deep fried chicken. Yeah, it goes on.
I am horrified.
I want to stand with you on Food Mountain.
No!
I want to float with you in some cheese. Insert brand name like this forever until more fries rain down on me. That's, you know what? That's the lyrics there.
It was
there.
Funny at first, but now I'm just sad.
You know what? But
it makes
how
me
good
really sad.
Darren Hayes,
thank
right
you,
now,
Darren.
He could be floating in the Pacific on a yacht, but instead
he cares about us.
Actually, that's probably a bit. Maybe a canoe in a river. Maybe not a yacht in the Pacific.
Oh, we are trying to get across what it would be like to be a millionaire. There are certain things we associate with the rich and famous. Just to, you know, get you excited about possibly being in that category, rich and famous.
We've spoken to a millionaire.
We have.
We spoke last week to the guy from Lux Listings.
Who
Sydney,
sells million-dollar properties.
Which is on Amazon Prime now.
Yeah. today.
I still feel, though, we haven't got to experience.
No.
Like the essence of what it is to be rich.
But we're going to give it a go. We're going to give it a crack today. Because whenever you see movies, whenever you watch, you know, famous people at dinner parties, the caviar always comes out. And I've never in my life eaten caviar because I'm not rich and famous, same as you, Cliffo. And it's definitely something we associate with being a millionaire. So we thought we would try it today to get a sense of how millionaires eat.
So, caviar.
It's so gross.
Caviar is like the top of the pile, king of the heap.
Yeah.
This is what, according to, you know, movies and stuff, people eat. And it is, I haven't looked at it. You open the tin of it.
It smells fishy.
Because it's fish eggs. And I was, that's what it is. It's eggs.
I was reading the label hoping it had gluten in it, so I couldn't eat it.
No,
it doesn't look appetizing.
Please, darling, I've seen you eat plenty of gluten when it suits you. Let's not pretend we're strict on that.
All right.
From what I've seen in the movies and stuff, looks like little black slimy circles. Is
that's exactly what it looks like.
Right.
It looks like, little tiny black beads, but in a weird, mushy, kind of moist bed. Now, I've done a little bit of research, and because we're not having it on anything, like sometimes you'd have it on toast or on salmon crackers or something.
Yeah, is that what rich people have for breakfast?
But so
we have Vegemite on toast. They have caviar on toast.
But I have seen people in movies and stuff, they just put it on their thumb, like you would with the salt if you're doing a tequila shot.
That's exactly
what
I thought.
So that's where you put it on your thumb and then you just eat it off your hand.
Yeah. It's the lip sip.
Yeah.
It's the lip bit for a lip sip suck.
Exactly, exactly. So that's what I'm doing. I'm putting it on my thumb right now.
Have you got a tequila chaser?
It's quite
and a wedge of lemon?
I wish. I really wish I did. Because this does not look appetizing. It's quite a big chunk. I've got it on my hand right now, and I'm going to give it a go. So this is how millionaires eat. This could be you guys. This could be you.
Drum roll, please. All as right. Gabby eats caviar for the first time in her life.
All right, here I go.
She's licked it. It's on the tongue. She's swirling it. And she's going for the bit.
Oh my god. That just tasted like I took a mouthful of sea salt.
The problem might be, it says here, we've done some research on it. Producer Brooke found this. Where'd you find this research, Brooke? Did you just Google this?
Yeah, just on Google.
Says here, serving caviar with silver utensils is a sin as the metal affects the flavour. Instead, use spoons made with mother of pearl.
Where's my mother of pearl spoon, Brooke?
You gave Gabby a stainless steel spoon. Maybe that's the problem.
I don't think that's the problem. I do not think that's the problem. Your turn, Cliffo. Should I give it a go. It just, to be honest, it tastes like tuna times 1,000 flavour. Like it is, it's a really, really, really salty, strong sea flavour.
I just dropped it on the keyboard.
Oh, gross. You're going to have a fishy smelling keyboard forever.
I don't like tuna either.
Well, this is epic.
My wife's a tuna eater, but...
Oh, how much are you having? Show me.
I've got a decent amount.
Oh, you've got a decent amount too, yeah. You're doing well.
I'm going to do it.
All right. Oh, go for it. Here he goes. That's a mouthful. He can't. It's on his tongue and he can't even. It's straight in the bin. This could be you guys. If you were $1 million, this could be you. Because caviar actually comes served in a 24-carat gold box and it costs $64,000 a kilo.
It doesn't go away.
I know. My whole mouth.
I can't wash the flavor away.
Like it feels like I just drowned in the ocean and my whole mouth tastes like seawater.
That's past.
It's
that's
gross,
awful.
Right? That's foul.
What are rich people doing?
Maybe because, like, you know, the good stuff costs $64,000 a kilo. I don't think we got the good stuff. So maybe that's why... It tasted so foul.
I reckon rich people just haven't tried Macca's. It's great, guys.
They think they're too good
for
that.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Take your water cash and go through the drive-thru and get a quarter pounder.
If you become our millionaire, please don't spend it on caviar. What a waste. That was really gross.
You can keep that, Brooke.
I had better expectations.
Enter now, guys. Sign up to the free listener app. Search for Cliffo and Gabby, then fill out the competition entry form. Gabby, with your latest breaking Telstra news.
Some kids wouldn't even know what a payphone is. However, Telstra have decided to make the 15,000 public payphones around Australia free to use. So you can make calls to mobiles, to landlines, just not overseas, for absolutely nothing, which is amazing. But when I saw this, I was like, cool, but... who uses a payphone? Turns out last year there were more than 11 million phone calls made using a public telephone in Australia, because a lot of the time they're there to help the vulnerable. If you don't have a phone, if you don't have access, if you're in bushfires, for example, and you need to contact people, like there are certain situations. So now you can use it for absolutely free. You can call your mates. It's a 6-hour limit.
What a crazy six-hour limit. Imagine that, standing at a payphone for
six hours.
Oh, better go. I've been here for 5 hours and 59 minutes.
It's about to cut me off.
Just do the thing like we used to do with when we had limited, like 20-minute plans, whatever. You'd hang up and dial
and
back.
Call back. Yeah, we used
it's
to do that.
Quite an incredible move from Telstra.
Huge move.
You know, well, payphones are just that. They're payphones. You pay to use them.
And they reckon it's going to be a $5 million revenue loss for them. However, willing to cop it. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because payphones, yes, they're there to make phone calls for free, but you know, Harry Potter used it to get to the Ministry of Magic. Superman uses it.
That's what I was about to say.
To change his clothes.
Thank God the payphones are still going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Because Superman needs to be there, needs to have them to change
into from his superhero garb.
Clark Kent into Superman.
Exactly.
Which pretty much just means he takes his glasses off. How they didn't work it out.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
He looks totally different. But without phone boxes, he would not be able to save the world. So Superman uses a phone box for a different reason. 13, 10, 60. Have you ever used a phone box for anything other than making a phone call?
Now,
are you Superman?
I'm going to own this one. This is a phone topic that we did talk about.
Yes.
Before the show.
Yeah.
And you went, I don't think anyone's going to call for that. I don't know if anyone's got anything for that, Cliffo. And I went, no!
Surely.
She'll be right.
Surely there's people that have used a phone box for things other than making a call.
We'll get calls? Now it comes out of your mouth. I'm starting to fret. A little bit. There's a bit of sweat on the brow. But have a think about it. 13, 10, 60. Have you ever used a phone box for anything other than making a phone call?
Did you use it as a TARDIS? 13, 10,
60. I don't know. To get changed like Superman did. I'm starting to run out of examples. I don't know if there's that many out there. But there must be someone listening right now that has used a phone box for something other than making a phone call.
Maybe back in the day when it had a door on it, you like got in there and shut the door because you're running away from a rabid dog.
I mean, there's a bit of imagination there. What happened to the doors, by the way?
Yeah.
Why did they get rid of the doors?
Not 100% sure.
Did someone get stuck inside, maybe? Because remember they were weird doors too, how they used to fold in.
Maybe it was a safety hazard.
I don't know.
Not sure. 13, 10,
maybe 60. They weren't saving people from rabid dogs. Get rid of the doors after all. We don't need them. 13, 10, 60. Have you ever used a phone box for something other than making a phone call? Lisa, what did you use the phone box for?
We had our wedding photos in the phone box.
Oh, that's a cute idea. So was it an actual box one, not just a little roof?
Yeah, it was an antique one, and so my husband and I popped in and got the most amazing photos, and then we shoved all the bridesmaids in and got some photos.
How the hell did you get all the bridesmaids in? How big was this phone box?
Not very.
Wedge in, mate.
There's one on the roof.
There's a will, there's a way. That sounds fun.
We only had three bridesmaids, but yeah, they're really nice photos.
That'll make beautiful photos, Lisa. Thank you. 13, 10, 60, Thomas is here. What did you use a phone box for other than making calls?
Getting out the rain and having a durry.
Getting out, having a smoke in the phone box.
Well, there's no wind in a phone box, is there? No. So I guess it makes sense.
The durry won't go out from the water.
That's true.
From the rain.
All right.
Okay. Feel bad for the next user if they're not a smoker.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. Katie's here. Katie, what was it for you? What did you use a phone box for?
Hi. When I was in grade 8, we actually did an amazing race and we managed to fit 12 of us in a phone box.
Oh, that is amazing.
12 in a phone box.
Well, did anyone get crushed? Because I'm figuring that there would have been people in like little corners and squished in.
It took a lot of help, but we managed to do it. So
that's amazing.
12 in
I was
phone
impressed
box.
With Lisa's three bridesmaids. 12?
That's a record.
That was amazing.
I wonder what the record is.
I don't know if I want to take Stephen's one here. This looks rough. But Stephen, dare I ask.
Morning, guys.
What'd you do in a phone box, bro?
It was actually a previous employer's house. He had a phone box set up as a toilet outside.
Oh!
He set up a phone box as like an outhouse.
Yeah.
Was it still glass?
Clear glass. Yep.
It's amazing.
Why would you want to see people doing that?
I have not a clue, but it was quite awkward to do.
Could you make a call while you're on there?
Yes, speak up. I'm just on the John. The Hit Breakfast Show.